Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Thursday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. The orange top, Indiana in double overtime. 112 to 110. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you a little bit in fan feedback. We got the coach montage, and Syracuse heads to Tallahassee to take on the Seminoles this Saturday at 4. We'll let you know what we think about that. Some football news to get into quickly before we enter, or before we exit the transfer portal back into basketball. Luke Benson and Adrian Cole was announced yesterday. They're both entering the transfer portal, and Adrian Cole, backup cornerback, pretty much, and saw him out there quite a bit. Luke Benson, not a huge surprise, but I mean, I don't know. How many catches did Luke Benson have this year? Two?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't blame the guy. I mean, it's cut and dry. I don't know what else to say about it. I kind of feel bad for him, to be honest with you. And with that, tight end coach Reno Ferry, he's out too. So, I know we're a little bit behind on some of this football coaching carousel stuff. Is kind of old. Sterling Gilbert, obviously, we talked about. Sterling Gilbert need to go. We were hoping they'd bring Babers back. We hope they do it sooner than later. They absolutely did. I think it was on, what did we do the show on? Sunday, Joe? When did we do the show? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was on Sunday.
Yeah, it was on Sunday. Okay, that's what I thought. And all this went down on Monday with the coach and stuff. And then the Adrian Cole, Luke Benson stuff came out yesterday. Yeah. So, any surprises with the coach and stuff? I got to be honest. I didn't even know who Reno Ferry was. I mean, I'm just being totally honest. If you had told me who he was, I went ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I knew who they were. It's just, I obviously, you know, some coaches need a fresh start in some areas with maybe, you know, the way they were going offensively. Maybe it just isn't conducive to the way they, you know, they coach or what their specialty is. But at the end of the day, you know, I pretty much expected Dino to keep his job. And obviously, you know, with Sterling and then a couple other guys, you know, Coach Reynolds, defensive lineman, that was kind of a surprise to me.
That was a surprise, yes.
But, you know, again, he didn't get brought in to, you know, coach 3-3-5. So, again, I think that a lot of these coaching changes were geared towards, you know, kind of the new kind of schemes that were going with offense and defense starting last year. So, you know, you get the COVID year and then this year to kind of make the adjustments and see if you can make it work. And, you know, obviously those are the decisions that they decided to make. So, and then you never know if with Benson and Cole, you know, who their primary recruiters were and if maybe that was the reason why, because a lot of times, you know, your primary recruiter is that one coach that you have trust with and that you can go to and talk to and, you know, kind of that father figure or parent figure, you know, that they got you there. So, you know, if two of these players, you know, with Benson being the tight end, you know, you'd almost assume that it was Reno Ferry, but, you know, you never know. You know, when you lose coaches like that, then a lot of times you do lose some players, you know, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a huge surprise. Also not a huge surprise, like you mentioned, bringing Coach Babers back. I was not surprised by that at all. I said I three times. That's how unsurprised I was by it. Some people some people were surprised, though, and some people were upset, and I don't understand that. I even saw a question proposed, something along the lines of, is it worth bringing Babers back to keep Sean Tucker? Like, is that my choice? Like, I mean, is that even a question? So, anyways, it reached peak craziness on Monday, and not much of it unexpected, except for, like you said, I mean, Coach Reynolds, kind of a weird thing. But, I mean, whatever. We'll see what happens. You know, I think Mike McAllister's already got some stuff up talking about, you know, the offensive coordinator position and kind of the
possible replacements.
Replacements and stuff for that he's got out today. And I mentioned Mike McAllister a bunch because he's just on top of the football stuff, guys. And his stuff is, it's good quick read stuff. You know, it's not long drawn out with a bunch of analogies and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
So,
hey, on a positive, we had some guys make first team all ACC.
Yeah, Mykel Jones, Sean Tucker, and
Cody Roscoe.
Cody Roscoe, that's right.
Yeah, yep. And Deuce Chestnut, he, I think, made third team, so I'm sure he'll make the all freshman team.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I think they even came out during the basketball game or something, at some point on court, at halftime maybe, something like that. We didn't see it if you watched it. If you watched it on TV. Yeah. So, anyways, it's time to get into the basketball game. Let's hear from Coach Boeheim after the game. Our first Coach Boeheim montage. Let's go.
It's amazing, the game. You know, the first half, we start out and make three or four threes out of six, and we get easy lead. The second half, we get the same four threes, and we miss them all. And they go down and make three. And that's the game. When you're shooting threes, that's the game. I thought we made a good adjustment and tried to get to the basket. The last, you know, we fouled for 20 years and have won every game we played. And actually, we won every game before we got to the overtime because we've gotten a rebound. You know, we got to get a rebound in that situation. Just as simple as that. You can't let the guy get the rebound. And, you know, I mean, we gave him every opportunity there. The foul in the corner, buddy, running by the guy. I just don't see that. Jesse's been great. I mean, he got five steals, three blocks. I mean, he's just trying to get better all the time.
Can't say enough about him.
And as far as strength, just
what
you can
say, yeah, he's... Defensively, he's got to help us. He's just not helping us when he's in there.
Your defense has been decent in the first half. It was pretty good in the first half.
No, I don't think the defense has been good all year.
In the first half?
Anytime.
Okay. Right, so
they just miss shots. Our defense isn't good enough. Period. End of story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're going to try to keep getting better, but our defense is not good. We got some pretty good offensive weapons, and I know Cole didn't go tonight, but he'll get going. But we've got to get better on defense, bottom line. If Buddy, to win the game, if Buddy has to play 50 minutes, he's going to play 50 minutes. That's the way, that's it. You know, it's like people want to play, we'll play these guys. No. We can't win the game if we play these guys. The only way we can win the game is to play the guys that are playing well. And if again, you know, Simier made a couple plays, that's good. And he's a good, he should be good in defense, and, you know, he's got to get better. He needs to get better. He's never played much, and we need him to play. But I'd rather have Joe and Buddy tired out there than Simier if he's not going to make plays or not going to help us. Simple as that. You know, we got a long way to go, but going to Florida State, we got to get Simier's going to have to play. He's got to play. These guys can't play 40 minutes against Florida State. They're just too physical. They're going to press. And, you know, we're going to have to get help off from those guys and Benny. And, you know, if you're playing 18, 20 minutes and you're getting nothing, you know, you don't deserve to play 30. You deserve to play 8. So you got to get something done. When you get on the court, you got to get something done. Something has to happen positive. Either defensively, rebounding, something has to happen.
All right, the coach montage is brought to us by the folks over at MyBookie. It's not every day you can double your money, but with MyBookie, you double your money instantly thanks to their double deposit bonus for all new users. With MyBookie's double deposit bonus, when you sign up at MyBookie, use the promo code SPORTSDRINK and you'll instantly receive double your initial deposit so you can kickstart your betting experience with all of the best games, leagues, and casino options for you to choose from. The Patriots, the Bills this Monday night, bet on the spread on that with the Bills cover. I don't know. Probably, maybe, I don't know. It's going to be a great battle, though. Set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when you use the promo code SPORTSDRINK at MyBookie. That's promo code SPORTSDRINK to double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. Thank you, MyBookie. All right, so Joe, getting into this montage here. Coach goes through his little intro before he takes questions, talks pretty much about the second half collapse, as it was, and, you know, going into the up by 18 at one point, going into the locker room at 16 is excellent. You feel like the game's in hand, but you know it's Syracuse, and you know there's a whole nother half to play, even if it isn't Syracuse. It's basketball, and those things happen. They figure it out. So, what though were your honest thoughts of the officiating at the end of the game, at the end of regulation, heading into overtime a little bit? With the whistles, it was like got whistle happy very fast for me, and I couldn't even figure it out. Some of it, is that fair to say, or am I overreacting?
Nah, I mean, there was, again, I don't know if it was just consistently bad or I don't know, but I know that they missed a lot, and by missing a lot, I mean they probably called way too many fouls and they needed to call. So. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't think they really missed any calls. I mean,
I don't know if they missed anything.
Jim will say
except for the over the back.
Well, that they missed Buddy because, you know, Buddy only went to the free throw line 4 times, and, you know, getting in there and some of the shots that he took, he thought he probably got fouled a couple more times. But other than that, they were atrocious. I thought they just didn't let him play enough, and I don't know. The timely stuff was. If we didn't get those turnovers and those steals and everything like that, then it would have been a rough day for us.
Well, I thought 100%. I thought the one that Buddy got called on that sent, I think it was Thompson to the free throw line for 3. He got fouled shooting. Well, they said he got fouled shooting.
No, I think it was Copper. Parker?
Was Stewart. It Copper? Okay. All right, Parker Stewart. So
no, Parker Stewart or that cop guy. They both shot one. Cop shot 4 for 9, and Parker Stewart shot 6 for 12 from the 3-point line. But I thought, I mean, Buddy, I think he got called for 2 fouls following a three-point shooter, and I don't know if he touched either one of them.
Well, one of them basically sent the game into, I think, the second overtime. So that was the one Coach was talking about. And then, you know, at the end of regulation on the box out with Jackson Davis, I thought, coming over the top. Now, it wasn't a great box out, but, I mean, it looked like over the back to me. And then he ends up going up and getting fouled. I mean, well, no. Look, I mean, they called some ticky-tack over the backs on Jesse Edwards, and I knew they were coming. So, I mean, and
I mean, he's got to stop with that. But, I mean, Benny Williams, when I was watching that, I mean, he was bent down and he got so low that I felt like he made it difficult for the ref to call that. I can understand where people, you know, see that. But obviously, Trace Jackson, he had obviously he reacted faster and he just got to the ball faster. And Benny Williams, he was so low on that, trying to get, you know, get low so he'd be able to box him out. And I think that ball just kind of had a perfect bounce to him. So I can understand people wanting to get the over the back, especially considering, you know, with the ones that were called by Jesse Edwards. But
yeah, consistently inconsistent, in my opinion, mm-hmm. with a lot of it. So there's plenty to complain about there. But and there's a little bit of fan feedback about it. We won't divulge, but we'll go through it a little bit since we've already divulged. But look, Jesse Edwards becoming a freak of nature all of a sudden. This dude, I think he went 7-for-7. Yeah, 7-for-7. I think he's got the highest field goal percentage in the ACC right now. And, you know, 3-for-3 on free throws. Problem is, like you just mentioned, you know, he fouled out. So some of those are avoidable. Some of those, dude, the over the backs, and I'll go back. I'll be consistent here. I saw him coming. I knew when he did it, he was going to get called. I knew it was coming before the whistle went. Cause it was.
Yeah, but let's be fair. He didn't foul out till overtime, correct?
No.
I mean, ESPN's got him down as 39 minutes. So unless he played the whole game and fouled out with a minute to go.
I think he pretty much did, dude. Yeah, because he wasn't in on the box out. Why wouldn't he have been there for that?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Anselm had 11 minutes. Yep. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Right, okay. So, yeah. So he, okay. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. And again, you know, but if he gives 39 minutes, falls out with 1 minute to go, and he puts up the numbers he had with, you're talking 17 points, 3 blocks, 5 steals. I'd like to see more than, I mean, no one on our team had more than 5 rebounds. So that's the one thing I didn't really like about it. But yeah, Jesse Edwards he's, I don't want to say the best or, you know, the best player on our team, but he's
most
quickly
improved.
Becoming the most, well, most improved 100%, but he's quickly becoming the most important.
Yes, most important, definitely. I think it goes without saying. It's not even a question. And then Frank, you know, you heard Coach talk about Frank. He say he's got to get better defense. True, but he hit 4 clutch free throws at the end of this game. That just ice running through his veins, bro. And whether or not he played good defense or not, he washed all that away with those 4 free throws. So Coach is going to be hard on the guys. You know how he is. He uses the press conference as his way of communication sometimes. So you heard Coach say he was asked by Donna DeTota, I believe it was, defense hasn't been good all year. And they weren't great. Indiana missed a ton of shots, especially in the first half. They were really out of sorts. And the defense did good. I mean, they haven't been great all year, but the defense played really good, I thought, in the first half. But obviously, bottom line, like Coach says, they got to get better, right?
No, yeah, they definitely have to get better. I think, you know, we came out in a, you know, what Coach called a 1-1-3. In his press conference.
Right, didn't look like that, but.
Well, I mean, really, realistically, though, we've always had the wings come up and guard, you know, the three-point shot when it got closer to the wing / you know, baseline.
Okay, you think that was the movement up?
Well, that was the wings coming up to help the sides, and basically Buddy was standing in the middle just taking away
the
pass to the free throw line so that, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, 31 points, 16 rebounds, and he missed a couple minutes, you know, because he was supposedly hurt. I thought he was really hurt.
I thought he was really hurt, too. I thought that was it.
Done, like torn ACL. I'm like, oh, man, Indiana's going to suck the rest of the year, right? But, like, then he comes in, and he played better. And, you know, he ends up putting in 31 and 16, and it's, like, obviously the best player on the court, right? But, we changed it up. We threw a little wrinkle in there, and we basically took that pass away. And, you know, it took them a little while to figure it out. And then once they did, you know, we kind of went back to the traditional 2-3, I think, which messed with them for a little while. But then, you know, I think they figured out how to beat both. And that's where you get the 55 points in the second half. And obviously it's that and rebounding. So.
Right. So you heard Coach talk about, you know, he's going to play who he needs to play to win. Right. And Samir, I thought, added a spark, especially about halfway through the second half, that really helped add a little bit to Syracuse, especially on defense. I thought he played good. I thought he played really good. And if he gets better and he can be that guy, that's exactly what we're missing right now. And with, you know, maybe penetration and things like that too. But I thought he did good. I thought it was probably, despite, I mean, what did he, you know, 2 points, but it was more than that to me. For 7 minutes, it was more than that to me. He added a little bit of spark. The defense is pretty good. And as long as he continues to improve, I feel better and better every game. And by the way, I never saw Syracuse win in this game. I didn't, just after watching Atlantis and everything, I was really concerned. Let's put it that way. I didn't see it coming.
No.
Even though it was close, double overtime, losing a 16-point lead after the first half, I was nervous. It was another cardiac Cuse game, but regardless, they pull out this W, and you can be as negative as you want about an ugly win. I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to take this thing, and every one of those moments that were horrible inside that game is just tape for coaching, and it's tape for getting these guys better and showing them their mistakes and getting better. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just not worth, to me, doing a whole lot of complaining about it.
No, but I think coming into this season, you know, I think we thought, I mean, I thought going into it that you know, there's going to be games where, you know, we win that maybe we shouldn't, but, you know, because we score and make the game a little ugly with some turnovers on defense, and which is what we did. You don't have to be good at the 2-3 zone sometimes to make the other teams like make mistakes and not be successful. They can do that themselves. And unless you're experienced and you know what you're doing and well coached and everything like that, then, you know, those zones, especially, you know, some of the zones, you know, Jim Boeheim and some of the, you know, different things that he does with them, you know, they can force teams to just make mistakes all by themselves. So doesn't even have to be good. So I think that's kind of what you saw yesterday was you just saw bad passes, errant passes just being thrown out of bounds, like just bad turnovers. And that's teams that just aren't experienced and haven't played, you know, this type of zone and some of the rotations that they pull off. So again, just sometimes, you know, there's going to be games like this where we know, like, you know, if the team's not great at defense or, you know, we're scoring at a high rate and hitting shots and our 2-3 zone causes enough havoc for the other team, then, you know, we could pull out these games. But then there's going to be other games where, you know, we might not be hitting or the other team might have a good defense a la, you know, VCU, and we might only score 55 points or 60 points and end up losing. So I think, at least for me going into this, I knew that there was going to be games like this, and I was trying to get myself, it's hard to get yourself prepared for it, but there's going to be games definitely this season where we win that we're not expected to, and then there's going to be games where, you know, we think we got it in the bag and we're going to lose.
Struggle,
and
right.
Just got to get used to it because it's going to happen this year.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, it's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right, you guys know what to do. At the end of every game, I ask you for your thoughts. You go to there on the socials, look for those posts, and give us your thoughts on the game. I'll go through them. I'll choose some. We'll talk about them here. Look, we're going to do all that. But first, one more time, let's hear again from MyBookie. It's not every day you can double your money, but with MyBookie, you double your money instantly. Thanks to their double deposit bonus for all new users with MyBookie's double deposit bonus. When you sign up at MyBookie.ag and use the promo code SPORTSDRINK, you'll instantly receive double your initial deposit so you can kickstart your betting experience with all of the best games, leagues, and casino options to choose from. The Patriots, the Bills, this coming Monday night. And you can bet on that game, bet on the spread there. Will Buffalo cover? I don't know. I think they might. They might win. I mean, let's be honest. This is the battle for the AFC East, right? So it's between them two right now, the winner of this game, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Mac Jones looks pretty good right now.
We'll see. Set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when using the promo code SPORTSDRINK at MyBookie. That's promo code SPORTSDRINK and double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. Look, Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports team like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your team wins. Join the 7,000-plus early adopters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com to create your free account when you deposit. Make sure to use the promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. Visit Symbol.com and use the promo code SD, and your initial deposit will be risk-free. This means even if you lose money, Symbol will refund your initial deposit. No questions asked. Join Symbol and start investing and profiting off your favorite teams today. Symbol.com and the Spotify Green Room app. Go to your iOS or Android stores and download the app. It is free. All you need is a username, an email address, and a password. Sign up. Follow us at Cuse Militia. Sign up for notifications. When we go live, you will get a notification, and you can join us in the green room. You can either creep it out and just listen in there, or you can request to speak. Whatever you do, go to the store, download it now. You get plenty of people to follow and get involved with, and you can even do your own thing on that app. It's all in one easy place. And we've been looking for something like this for a while doing this show. It's just super convenient, and I'm sure you'll love it. Go there today. Download the app. iOS or Android stores have it, and it's free. Thank you. Spotify Green Room. Okay. So, let's hear from you guys. A day late. A dollar short. Okay. At K. Nabiwaniak. The full Joe Girard experience, good, bad, and ugly, and we'll take it. Yes, very frustrating, with his chucked up ball at, I think it was in the first overtime, towards the end of the first overtime. It was a long ball, was just, my opinion, a bad shot. Of course, he had a number of bad turnovers, but at the end of the day, I think he sunk two free throws too, along with Frank Anselm's four, to really help come out of that four-point deficit that they had early in the
He had some overtime. Big shots in overtime.
Yes, absolutely. So
pretty like, sure he hit a three too.
Yeah, to Kyle's point, the good, the bad, and ugly, and we'll take it. Absolutely, Kyle. At one, Kev Nash, as a basketball fan, highly entertained. As a Q's Hoops fan, highly frustrated. Hashtag go Cuse. Yes, it was a great game. If you're an outside, I mean, Dave Portnoy was tweeting about this game. And And, you know, if you're a basketball fan, this was a freaking excellent game. If you are a Syracuse fan, though, bro, that's too much, man. That's too much for one night. It's too much for one night. Shades of 6-0 versus UConn. I mean, just, you know, it didn't.
I had a few more than I was planning on.
Yes, yeah. And so, you know, it was almost an instant classic, you could say. I mean, it was good. I don't know if it was an instant classic, but it was definitely a good game, and it was.
Oh yeah, and talking to the people at work too, you know, because they're ACC, and during the ACC Big Ten, you know, we're always, you know, it's that little, it's kind of like that little the white flag period, right? Where it's like, hey, I know I don't like you, and you don't like me, as far as our teams go, right? But like, it's ACC versus Big Ten, so let's just hope that our teams, you know, win those games, so to speak, you know. So, you know, those type of fans that I've run into down here in North Carolina and stuff, it's ACC country, like, you know, they pretty much said, they're like, you know, you guys, you know, those refs are horrible. And it's funny, you know, these refs are horrible. You know, they should have won in regulation.
Yeah, I mean, Portnoy was saying the same thing about the refs, by the way.
Outside fans. Very obvious. Were
outside
the same
fans,
thing.
Yes.
So that's one reason why you don't want to really poo-poo the whole our fans bringing it up, because this is actually one time where it's outside fans, like the normal unbiased fan that just likes college basketball, that's saying the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. That's very fair to say. At T. Haji, worst Syracuse basketball team in decades.
Ooh.
Bro,
that's got to be a troll.
I don't know these days,
it's a
bro.
Bot.
I don't know these days. Hold on. Screen's cracked. I got to maneuver this thing. We beat a team that turned the ball over 25 times in two overtimes. Fire Boeheim.
26.
Was it 26?
Were we supposed to lose?
I got
how
25.
How many turnovers were in overtime?
KenPom says 25.
No, ESPN says 26. I guess it's a battle to the death.
We'll go with 25 and a half.
It's sold.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, like I said before we started fan feedback, I mean, guys, we won a game. I mean, this is a Syracuse fan. Are you that pissed off at an ugly win?
He's got
a Syracuse icon. I've seen him before on Twitter. Dude, this was not...
Twitter's not a real place.
I know Twitter is not a real place. It is not. And it's not with real people either. But...
Right.
It
is, but allegedly.
Well, kinda.
Allegedly.
Yeah. You know, there's characters on there with no, well, we do it, so I guess we can't talk. We don't have, you know, we have our logo as our profile picture, but you know what I'm saying. It's cover.
We're talking about it.
Right, exactly. At JJ Valerio SC, Joe Girard sucks. It might be the worst defensive point guard in history of the program. Once again, Twitter striking again. Look, the good, the bad, the ugly. Sometimes you got to take it all in a package in one game, and sometimes you get the good, and sometimes you just get the bad. Joe Girard is a basket of stuff, and, you know, he's like a box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump said. You just never know what you're going to get.
He's just a hooper, bro.
Yeah, he's a hooper, man. Yeah, absolutely. You know, he hits risks. He hits long three.
Shots, he makes bad decisions.
It makes bad decisions. Yes. And he's got to clean some of that up. I mean, it is frustrating. I do agree to that. But I don't think he sucks. And I don't think he's the worst defensive point guard in history. I mean, there's got to be somebody worse, right? There's got to be, right?
They probably didn't play.
Shit, right. You're not helping me out, bro. That's not helping me out at all. Ed Shelley House. Golly, man. You just threw me right under the bus. This team showed guts. Great bounce back from such a tough week. Yes, it showed guts beyond guts. They never gave up. Buddy's bleeding from his shoulder. I mean, the guys are getting banged up. They're all over the freaking floor.
That was the foul.
Right. They never looked lazy out there, in my opinion. I didn't see it, and they were all heart the whole time. And you got to give them hats off to that 50 minutes of basketball. And like Coach said, he's going to play Buddy for 50 minutes. If Buddy's going to play like that for 50 minutes, you know, that's just how it's going to go.
Do you do it, though, to win, like, every time? Like, I mean, I don't know. Because
no,
I saw
no, you
Jimmy Boeheim. Jimmy Boeheim played 47. He played 50. They both had the most minutes. And they
both had
combined
the most
shot 43 out of the 73 shots that we shot, right? So... But they made 19 of them, and we won. So I'll take that every day. It's just, can you do that every day?
Can it be sustained? No.
Exactly.
It cannot. And we'll get into that from – I saved the little nugget off of the coach montage to bring down to the Florida State preview. And we'll talk about just that. At Cuse Waterboy, too early to call a game a must-win, but this was huge. Cardiac Cuse will one day stop my heart for good, and I'm feeling good. And in English. Cardiac Cuse will one day stop my heart for good, and I'm fine going out like that. Yes, like Dale Earnhardt at Daytona, right? You know, doing what you love.
Not touching that.
Not touching that. Joe says no. No, he's a no-go on the...
No, I'm not saying no-go. I'm just not touching it.
You're not touching it. Okay.
Not touching it.
Why? Bad karma? What are you worried about? You superstitious?
No.
You got what? We got stints already? What's going on?
I can't do it. I'm not prepared to answer that. To answer that one.
Hold on a second. What are you talking about right now? You got stints already? What?
Me? No. I'm good. I'm good. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Dave, Joe, you're going to have to explain that one at some point.
Maybe.
You totally caught me off guard there. I'm totally confused.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm just seeing Anthony, our very own Ecuse Waterboy, says, I can't read, and he thinks it's funny.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it's real funny. This has been for 6 years. We've been doing this about 6 years. Yes. 6 years of me reading a lot, but not being able to read still. In my defense, if I could take a picture of my phone, you would see how busted up my phone is.
Why isn't that fixed yet?
Bro, if I could take this phone and run it over and get a flip phone, I would. If I didn't do this podcast, I might do that, by the way. That's a possibility. This podcast, I have to have this phone. Dave, too many whistles in the final seconds. Ref need to let him play. Glad we got the W. Absolutely, dude. Like, hello, can we, stop with the whistles and the unnecessary...
Yeah, but we got to get that rebound at the end, too. You know, like, I mean, we made the right play. We fouled them. And, you know, for them to go into overtime and get the lead taken from them and then come back and fight and win in two overtimes. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, it absolutely was. David, torture. Bad shots at times, awful defense, ill-advised fouls, questionable lineups in key spots, no calls on obvious fouls, calls on obvious non-fouls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Take the win, but let's not do that again.
Do we not understand that that could be the narrative of every fan of every team of every basketball game that happens college basketball?
I was just going to say that could be every game from here on out for Syracuse.
Not even just for us. You could look at the Indiana. I mean, what are the Indiana fans saying today?
I don't know stuff, right? What they're like, saying today, seeing that it's 2 days removed, Xavier Joe. Johnson's they probably don't trash. Care. Xavier Johnson's trash. Xavier Johnson, surprisingly, kind of a non-factor. I mean, 4 points? Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he had 9 assists.
I expected him to do more than that.
26 minutes, yeah.
Expected him to do more than that.
He fouled out.
Zach, our boy Zach on Facebook, started my night with a cup of tea. My girlfriend setting up the Christmas tree and a fake fireplace going. Talk about a relaxing night. Cut to now, and I'm pacing around with my coffee table with my heart beating through my chest. Thank you, Anselm, for stepping up in OT. Nice to have a big that can hit free throws. Absolutely.
Damn, what'd you put in that tea, Zach?
I hope he put nitroglycerin in it, for crying out loud. Doug on Facebook. Clearly, they need to do something different because they shouldn't have allowed them to come back after having that kind of first half. It's a good win, but should have been bigger. Well,
we did something different in the first half, which is why we had the lead.
Right. And why do you think we didn't continue?
Normal 2-3 zone from the beginning.
Right. And I agree. So, well, that's a good point, Joe. So why go to the 2-3 immediately start in the second half after you develop a huge lead like that and dominate the first half and totally, obviously frustrate Indiana. The reason they were missing so many shots, they were chucking stuff up. They weren't getting good looks.
We didn't just go straight to it. They figured out how to beat it.
Oh, okay.
So we switched it up on them again, and that's kind of how it was. But they had already game planned to go against the 2-3 zone that they saw in film. So, you know, once you start beating something, you know, I mean, all you try to do is just in-game adjustments. And, you know, that's kind of what it was. I think that this team realistically is probably, as far as Indiana goes, probably more talented than we are. But, you know, by that coaching staff pulling out that 1-1-3, I think it really kind of messed with everything that they were expecting, and they gave us the lead. They allowed us to pull ahead, and obviously we have to make the shots to do that. So, and we made the shots and gave us that lead. And then, you know, once they figured it out, you really saw them pour it on and see what Indiana could do. I really do think this is a really good win. I think it's going to be a tier win. Our tier one win throughout pretty much the whole season. I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. And we'll have to break out the old tier chart here before too long.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully not have to pay too much attention to that this year like we have in the past. But obviously that thing's going to come into play. Jesse on Facebook, love seeing Buddy draw a big foul and take over for a minute until he forced a double team. We scored 4-6 times that Joe drove at least to the foul line and then made a pass, not counting the game-winning drive, which was that, I guess it was a game-winning drive, when he went and took it to the hoop, got hammered. Would love to see more of that instead of passing around the perimeter and forcing tough contested shots. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. Like I was saying earlier about Samir, I mean, I got to get Samir going somehow, in my opinion. I think he's kind of the catalyst to some of that, and I think it's going to be huge if he can get in there. I thought he played really good against Indiana, despite only being in there. I mean, the 7 minutes he was in there, I thought he did a fantastic job. That's my opinion. That's a pedestrian view of
Buddy was playing so well though that you really couldn't do anything about it, you know. I mean, on top of like the 27 points leading the team, he had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and 5 steals. So again, I mean, to coach's point, you know, when he's playing like that, you don't take him out.
Right. Oh, top fan Robert on Facebook. This was a massive win, not because they beat Indiana, but they never quit. Up 18, all of a sudden tied up to 8, up 8, tied 2 overtimes, pulled it out. That was gritty. The refs were ridiculous, but that must have turned around a whole season. They proved it to themselves, and by the end of the season, Jesse is going to be a beast. So do you think... I mean, it's quite possible. It's too early for me to call, though, Robert. If this is a buy, sell, or hold, I'm going to hold on the reference that this turned around the whole season. So may have turned around the whole season were his exact words. Look, a big win like this, though, knowing what you can do, and maybe we see more of that 1-1-3 or 1-3-1 or whatever you want to call it. Right.
It's setting up different zone rotations and different zone setups for different teams. And how they can match up with you, you know. And again, it's unfair. And I think it goes to what Jim Boeheim was saying too in his presser when he was saying that, like, everybody's been trying. Like, he made a comment based upon some of the people that have been like, oh, the lack of this or the lack of that. Like, you don't ever stop, you know, especially at that level. Like, you don't not try. I just feel like psychologically as a fan, someone that's watching, I think it's a lot easier to kind of pinpoint, you know, that one play where, you know, especially when you're losing or if you lose a game, that one play where this person didn't do this or this person didn't do that versus when you're winning. You know, I don't see it as an effort situation or an effort thing. And I just hate that it kind of just comes, you know, synonymous with whether or not you win or lose. You know, you lose. Oh, you know, they didn't give the effort. They didn't give this, you know, and I just don't think that that's necessarily fair all the time.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That will do it for us on fan feedback. We appreciate all of you for participating in all of that. And obviously, you can go to the Spotify Green Room app if you would like to listen or participate live and hang out with us on the show. live. You've heard it before if you're a regular listener. And we had a few people in there tonight. It's always fun either chatting with people or having them make fun of me, which is, you know, I'm fine with it. It's okay. Joe, Florida State. They are going to host the Syracuse Orange this Saturday at 4 o'clock. The all-time series between Florida State and Syracuse sits at 7-5 in favor of the Orange. And for me, it's kind of hard to believe, actually, that they've only played 12 times. They first met in 1990, and the Orange won the first three games in the series. The Seminoles would beat Syracuse in the first round of the NIT in 1997. The two teams would not meet again for 17 years until Syracuse joined the ACC in the 2013-14 season, according to orangehoops.org. The Seminoles took the last meeting in Tallahassee, 80-77 last year. Gerard, Boeheim, Sidibe, Dolezal, Hughes, your starting five, Hughes with 25 points, and Gerard with 22. KenPom has Florida State ranked 32nd, and their adjusted defense is also ranked 32nd, Joe. Their record is a little bit, I don't know. I mean, look, they lost by 28 against number 2 Purdue. That's totally reasonable. Wins against Pennsylvania, Tulane, Loyola, Marymount, Missouri, Boston U, and a loss against, like I said, Purdue and Florida.
Two good teams.
Two good teams. Right. They've won the ones they should win, and they struggled against the ones that you thought they might struggle against, right? So it's hard for me to gauge this team, but I'm just going to throw a couple of things at you, and I'm going to let you talk. So okay. At the end of the coach montage, I saved this little nugget for the preview. Samir, you heard him say that he's going to have to play more against Florida State. They're going to need help off the bench against this team. These guys are going to need help, the starting five, that is. And you've got to get something done on the court to earn your time, right? So this is a perfect opportunity, and I don't know how much we see of Samir, but I've puffed him up a little bit, so I hope to see a little bit more of him and watch him develop, but they're going to need him. With that said, Joe, what do you make, in your honest opinion here, of Florida State? When KenPom's got him at 32, which is pretty high for what they've done, in my opinion, but you know, that's an algorithm, and that's all numbers that he shoves into that thing. I mean, he's got a system that is bulletproof, really. So, what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I see a Florida State team that honestly, like, it really doesn't it doesn't look like a Florida State team that I recognize, really.
It's not. No. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's really kind of a situation where, you know, they've had a lot of guys go into the draft the last couple of years and everything like that, and when I'm looking at this team, it looks like they're still trying to figure it out for the most part.
Malik Osborne was the only one that really rang a bell to me.
Malik Osborne, he's been there, and he's 6'9", 225. He's the guy that kind of is leading the charge right now, right? But I know they have a transfer from Houston, Caleb Mills, who he's leading the charge as far as guards go with minutes and points and everything like that. And then a freshman guard, Matthew Cleveland, who's a 6'7 guard. So, you know, the thing with Florida State where it's always been kind of, they're always athletic. You know, they got the size. They're going to put the pressure on you on defense, and they got the bodies down low to, not necessarily that they, you know, are bigger than you as much as, you know, they're going to be physical. Another guy to worry about too as well, that's starting to, you know, John Butler, 7'1", 190 pound freshman as well. So they got some tall, lengthy freshman guys that, you know, are coming in, and They're still trying to figure their way out. Like you said, they lost. Their only two losses are against good teams, right? But I don't really think they have a good win, really.
No, I don't think so either.
When you look at their wins, teams like Penn and Loyola, Marymount, Missouri, they beat up pretty good. But, you know, 5-point game to Tulane, 59-54. I mean, that's a low-scoring game, only scoring 59 points against Tulane at home. And then they had a home game against Boston University, and they won by 1 point in overtime. So, in Cleveland, the freshman guard there, he scored 17, and he hit some big shots to win that game. So, and that's Boston University. So, it's one of those things where, to be perfectly honest with you, I think it's a timing thing more than anything. I think that the fact that we are finding this team and playing this team this early as an ACC game is really kind of it's a blessing in disguise as far as I'm concerned, because I don't really see a situation where, I mean, this team is only going to be better later. We play them again at home back in January 15th, and this is going to be one of those things where it's going to be interesting to see how they play and what type of team they are now versus how we play them, you know, in a month and a week. Because I think that honestly, I think we got a pretty good shot. I know that they're ranked pretty high in KenPom and everything, and I know their defense is going to be good. But
it's not bad.
What's that?
I said it's not bad.
No, it's not. And they're going to have the bodies and the athleticism and all that. But I do think that this is a winnable game. You know, it's not a recognizable team like we talked about, which means that they probably don't have a lot of players that are used to dealing with a zone for a long period of time and for the amount of minutes that they're playing now versus what they might have contributed in the past. And again, like I said, I think it's a good matchup for us and a good time to get an ACC game, especially against Florida State right now, because at the end of the year, they could be the Florida State, you know, that we know of, whether they're like a top four, top five ACC team, and they figured out their roles with some of these freshmen. So not saying it's a guaranteed win. And when you look at ESPN and you look at Vegas and everything, Florida State is favored to win. But I would not be surprised if this wasn't a game that we couldn't pull out.
I agree. And we never talk about Syracuse's KenPom adjusted offense and defense. And I think it's worth mentioning just going.
No, I mean, usually we do. I mean, we can, but usually, I mean, I don't like to use a lot of the KenPom stuff until you get into, because in the beginning, it's just him guessing really right?
Well, yeah, but we're starting to accumulate. Yes, we're starting to accumulate stuff though now.
Yeah, we are. And we're ranked 12th in the adjusted offense,
which is excellent.
And which means it tells me that, you know, it's a good chance we could possibly score on anybody, right? But then we saw VCU that, you know, again, which I'm interested to see where VCU sits for the rest of the year as far as defensively. I mean, right now their adjusted defense is 3, and I wouldn't be willing to bet that they're probably going to be staying top 5, top 10 throughout the season, which could pretty much, you know, define why we only scored 55 points against them. Plus, it was early in the season. So, like I said, right now, I mean, this is a perfect ACC game to get over with right now. I'd rather see a team like this, Florida State, still with some young guys and some newer roles trying to be developed versus a team like a lower level team in the ACC that we know we're going to be able to beat later in the season anyway. So I know that in a row it looks bad with everything in the tournament, then Indiana, then Florida State, then Villanova. But as far as the timing goes with being able to get an ACC game in and playing a tough team, if you got to play a team, especially twice like we do with them, then it's perfect timing for a team like that who's still trying to find their way.
Yeah, Syracuse is, like I was saying, their adjusted defense 182nd. So for what it's worth, that's a room for improvement, I would say.
At a minimum.
Anyways, this is an ACC game, Joe. So whether or not you were prepared or not, you did get a warning. We are guessing the final scores for all ACC games this year. So with that said, Syracuse and Tallahassee, 4:00 Saturday, and I will go first, I suppose. Look, like you said, to your point about the KenPom stuff, there's guessing in the beginning, but I think we've got enough in there now where it's pretty good. I mean, you're seeing a lot of his. If you guys aren't on there, it's worth the $20. I think it is for a year, by the way. You're seeing his rankings are pretty accurate right now. I feel like they're solid, so I'm gonna go by them. 12th ranked adjusted offense. We know that our offense is good. They're going to have to score. It's going to be a raucous crowd on a Saturday afternoon. I think they can ride this Indiana win into victory. I do. And I hope that they can. If they don't, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not talking about a two overtime game or anything like that, but it's probably going to be pretty close. It's probably going to be another cardiac game if they do win. No, no. If they do win, it's going to be, I think it's going to be very close again, and it's going to be another one.
Even if they lose, I still think it's going to be close.
Do you?
I think it's going to be close. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say, man, this is tough this early in the season, bro. I'm going to say 86-82 Syracuse. That's tough. Probably way off on that. 86-82 Syracuse. This is where you can really get in a hole, too, in basketball.
No, especially in basketball.
Yeah, because of the way we do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm kind of right there with you. I'm around right there, but I'm a little bit lower than you. I'm 77-72. Syracuse, I think, will win it, and they'll hit a couple free throws at the end to make it a five-point game.
77-72. Look, we struggled, too, from the line here in the past couple years.
Not this year.
And what's my point? This year they are doing excellent. Let's just see real quick before we take off here.
I mean, I know for right now, I mean, I know that they average, 21.5.
78.8% as a team so far.
And they average attempting 21 a game.
That's really good. Let's see.
Yeah, they get to the line really good.
They get to the line, and they need to do more of that at 78.8%.
Yep.
So you've got Buddy at 90.2 and Gerard at 90. I mean, that's excellent. And Jesse Edwards is only at 70.
It's got to be part of the plan.
Yeah, got to be. Cole Swider has been excellent from the line, 90.5% for the year. And Jesse Edwards is decent. Is decent. He's 72. For a big guy, I mean, I'll take 75, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, anyways. All right, look. Sorry, we were a day late. I know. We apologize. Yeah. No one hates being a day late more than us. I promise you that. So, we apologize. But we should be back. Same bad time, same bad channel on Sunday after Syracuse takes on Florida State. We'll let you know what we think. We'll hear from you. You'll hear from us. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.